And all of a sudden, I heard this lady come up behind me, start hollering, "Clown, balloons pop!" And I turn around and look, and she's got a cigarette, and she's chasing me. Now, I'm running through the hallways with this balloon bouquet going everywhere. She's trying to pop my balloons, and them old shoes were just slapping that hard tile floor.
Flippity flop.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I sound like a herd of horses going down through there. And I'm starting to holler, "Help! Help! I need an orderly. I need somebody to help me."
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hey Now Bell podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Casey.
Well, Mr. Casey got up this morning, made a long drive from Georgia.
Not as long as from Michigan, though, where we thought he was coming from.
We thought she was coming from Michigan.
Well, yeah, I kind of did.
But, yeah, you did. We'll get there. We'll get there through the storytelling. Casey has been a fan of the Hey Now Bound podcast for a while now. So he reached out to us, and we've been in email contact. And I finally just said in the comments last week, I said, "Give me your number." So had a conversation with Casey yesterday. Casey told me a few of his stories, and I said, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And he got up and made his way to Hayden, Alabama this morning. So, Casey, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Been looking forward to it.
We're going to get to the storytelling. I'm not going to share with y'all everything that Casey is bringing today.
We could go a number of places.
Well, we're finna go all over the place.
Just be ready.
But we're kind of organized. We did take a few minutes before the show and organize our directions. So, Casey, we're going to start off. I'm just going to confess. I'm very scared of clowns. I've always been scared of clowns. But that's been part of your life.
It was for a long time.
Tell me a clown story.
Well, one that I can remember, I lived in Michigan. I did all my clowning in Michigan. Except for...
We've done some clowning too, but it wasn't.
I don't believe it was all in Michigan.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you talked to a lot of my friends, they'd say the same thing.
Professionally. Okay?
Professional clowning was all in Michigan, except for one time. I came down here to visit my sister, who at the time, well, she'd gotten out of college and lived down here, and I ran out of money. Yeah. Fell on hard times. Just for the weekend. So I had to get a job, and it was over Valentine's. So I got a job delivering balloon bouquets, but they said, "You need to be a clown." I said, "I just happened to have my clown outfit with me." So I go to the trunk of my Volkswagen, and I get everything out, put it on, go get me a job. My first run, they sent me to the state hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Moccasin Bend. I'd never been there before. Never been to a state hospital before. But let me tell you what, that place is full of Looney Tunes. And now you got a picture. I'm not the tiniest little clown, okay? I'm pretty good size. Mm-hmm. And my shoes are about 14 inches long and about 6 to 8 inches wide at the toes. Solid leather, a half inch leather sole. I'm carrying a 24 balloon bouquet. And all of a sudden, I heard this lady come up behind me, start hollering, "Clown, balloons pop!" And I turn around and look, and she's got a cigarette and she's chasing me. Now, I'm running through the hallways with this balloon bouquet going everywhere. She's trying to pop my balloons, and them old shoes were just slapping that hard tile floor.
Flippity flop.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I sound like a herd of horses going down through there. And I'm starting to holler, "Help! Help! I need an orderly. I need somebody to help me." And I
she's just,
Yeah. Help! And, you know, I mean, I didn't know what to do. And I was running because I didn't want her. These balloons were for somebody else. They weren't for her. And so finally, somebody heard me and they tackled this woman behind me. And I made my way to the front desk and I said, and I was out of breath and everything. They said, "Can we help you?" And I said, "Yes, I'm looking for so-and-so." It was one of the people that worked there in the kitchen. And they said, well, you need to go. I said, I ain't going nowhere back down through there. I said, you tell her to come to me. I got something for her. And so they called her and she came up and got her balloons. But yeah, that was one of my clown issues that I had that was kind of scary, but wore me out.
Okay, so you know why they didn't help you quickly, don't you? They thought you were a resident.
That's the guy down in 64.
Oh, that's just, hey, could you come down? Yeah. It's a thousand wonders they didn't show up and say, right this way, sir. Yeah. Right this way. Your room's right over here, sir.
I think it was the balloons, though.
That, oh, that's what got you.
Yeah, because they weren't allowed to have them.
There you go. Well, what did you learn from that experience?
Stay out of the hospitals. You know, the state hospitals like that. And seek help when you walk in the front door.
Have you ever heard that joke? That the guy was walking down the sidewalk one day and he was walking by the mental institute and they were a whole pile of them in there going 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. And he thought, what are these people doing? So there's a little hole over there and you could look in there and see. Mm-hmm. He went over there and he stuck his old eye in that hole and he looked in there real quick. Here in a minute, one of them's finger went boom, poked him right in the eye. They're going 13, 13.
Got him.
13, 13.
Oh my god. Ain't
nothing worse than being poked in the eye.
Curiosity killed the cat. At least you didn't get poked in the eye.
Yeah, I didn't get poked in the eye, but boy, I'll tell you what, that was a trip. And I had to go back later that day, make a second run out there. Yeah.
Not once.
No, come twice. On. No, Casey. No, wait. It is. I'm surprised that you got a job. First off, immediately.
You got to know somebody.
You knew somebody, all right. They said, hey, you know what? Casey will go down to the middle hospital and deliver these balloons. There ain't nobody in there want balloons. Well, it was some of your buddies that said, hey, just call and say they need balloons with a clown suit at the middle hospital.
Well, I was from out of town, and I was not familiar. I'm from Michigan, okay? Nobody that lived in this area wanted to go there. They said, send him.
Yeah, you're the newest employee, Casey.
Yeah.
That's why you went to the mental institute.
And then you went back.
All right, so here, round two. Let's get started there.
I went back. This time, I went to the right door and...
Instead of the left.
I went to where the desk was.
Oh, to the desk.
And I got my help immediately. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is it right here. I'm not going nowhere. You call them to come here. I learned the first time. But hey, we got that one taken care of.
Yeah, you know, that's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing with expecting different results. Mm-hmm. You're not an insane person. You went there
made a
correction.
That's why they didn't offer you lunch.
Yeah.
And a nice place to stay.
Now, speaking of offering lunch, another time when I was clowning. Now this was for
I just love the clowning. Can I stop you? I love the clowning. Next time I was clowning. We're gonna start saying that. Because I feel like that's all we really do.
Yeah.
Let's go clowning.
Have you guys watched your show?
Yeah.
I watch it way too much.
You're just obsessed with it.
No, because I have to edit it. So I see it a lot.
Lots of clowning.
I get the same thing. But we were canvassing for Sunday school, Sunday school bus. Okay. And, this gentleman was with me, Mr. Pitt. He's done gone on to be with the Lord here. Praise the Lord. And, a real sweet man, but we were in this trailer park and, you know, that's where all the kids are. And I'm walking down through there and I'm handing out balloons and candy and stuff like that. I'd blow up a little balloons we're getting these kids and inviting them and talking to the moms and dads. And I kept hearing this lady hollering, Mr. Clown, Mr. Clown. And I asked Mr. Pitt, I said, do you hear that lady hollering, Mr. Clown? And he said, yeah, but I don't know where she's coming from. And so the closer we got, she got louder, of course. And finally we could see her. She came into view. Now, this was in Michigan, but she actually belonged back there at Moccasin Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she was...
She was in the trailer park, but she needed to be in Moccasin Bend.
Exactly, exactly.
They don't have so much room in those places.
She, well, let's just say, let's put it this way, her rubber's come off the wheel, okay? Mm-hmm. And we go into her trailer, and she says, I want you to read the Bible to us, to me. And Mr. Pitt says, well, we really don't have the time. Please, I need you to read the Bible to me. Okay, we will. What do you want us to read? And so he opens up the Bible and he begins to read. And she's quoting everything that he's reading. Yeah, she's got it memorized. And then all of a sudden she says, stop, stop, right there, stop. And he, okay, now what? And let me back up just a little bit and kind of set the scene.
Please.
When we went in this trailer, she says, please be careful where you walk because the floor is weak.
No, I thought it might have been because of them 18 size 18 clown shoes you had on.
Well, thank God I had them because I needed something to support all this on that weak floor.
You space out from rafter to rafter.
Exactly. And that's what we had to do. And when we set our chairs, we had to make sure they were sitting on the high spots. So then she says, when she stopped us, she says, I want to fix you a cup of coffee. No. We don't have time for that. No, I want to fix you coffee. And she was adamant about it. And we kind of looked over at her sink, and it was just piled full of dirty dishes, and the kitchen was a mess. We don't want no coffee. No, we got to have coffee. Okay. And she goes over, and she gets her coffee pot, and she's, oh, that's right. This sink doesn't work. And so she takes off down the hallway of the trailer, and next thing we know, we hear the toilet flush. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Mr. Pitt, and he looked at me, and he said, let's pray.
Yes.
So we begin to pray, Lord, you got to stop this somehow. And she come back, and this coffee pot was just dripping with water, so we have no idea where she got it from. So she goes over, and she puts the grounds in the coffee thing, and she pours the water in there, and she turns it on, and he says, let's read some more. So he begins to read. And we don't hear any gurgling coming from the coffee pot. I kind of glance over there at it, and it's not working. God blessed us.
It truly didn't work.
It truly did not work.
Shut her
because
down.
Here's what happened. She flushed that toilet and then dipped that coffee pot down in there.
I know she did.
You ever heard that song? You can't eat at everybody's house. You can't eat it, everybody.
Yes, sir.
Have you?
And that's why.
I've never heard that
one. You can't eat it, everybody.
I'm disagreeing.
I got you. Yeah, Shane comes up with some odd things.
Well, when I got here today, he was all by himself, so there's no telling where he got all this.
I thought about a lot of things this morning sitting here meeting the Lord. That's the meme, the guy sitting there and he's cutting meat with his toenail. His toenail is about this long, and he cuts it and he throws it in the fryer. You got to be kidding me.
Folks, that's true.
Yeah, he's cutting it with his toenail and throwing it in the... It's some foreign country.
Of all the terrible reels that you send me, you didn't ever send me that one.
I'll find it for and send it to you. I sure will. In the song in the background, it's, you can't eat it, everybody.
Oh, man. Oh, well, I got a lot of clowning stories. I could keep you here all day doing that, but I'm not going to do that. But it was... Those were a couple of real interesting stories.
Well, you let us right on into church there, didn't you? I mean, that's where we're going to next.
Because the Lord helped you in that situation.
Yeah, so yeah. God was definitely on our side.
He kept you from getting distemper is what he kept you from doing.
And what else, you know?
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Before we go to church, though, now's an opportunity to share a little bit about you. So you have preached.
I surrendered the call to preach when I was 16 years old. I am currently on the high, on the low side of 60s. I'm 63 years old. I'll be 64 in 2025. I've been in church all my life. Mm-hmm. I was saved when I was 5 years old, and raised in church. Been in church, love church.
Big fan.
I've done everything there is. From cleaning the toilets to driving the bus to preaching, playing the organ, the piano, picking up the offering, running sound, you name it. I've done it all. But I love church. Our whole family's been in church all our life.
Now, what about church happened at Lookout Mountain?
Well, I was emceeing a program in a little old country church, Mount Olive Church, up on top of Lookout Mountain. And they had a singing up there. And they asked me if I would come and be the MC. And I said, why, sure, I'd be glad to. So I opened up the program. You know, we start out with prayer and we'd get somebody up to sing and I go and sit down. Well, then I went back up to the pulpit after they got done and brought on the next group. And when I turned to walk away from the pulpit, there was a little nail sticking out from the edge of the pulpit. I didn't see it. But that little flap at my zipper found it. And I had a pair of the pants I had on had a nylon zipper in it.
No, barn door swung right open in it.
She wide open in front of a whole church full of people.
Did you know it happened?
Oh, yeah. When it happened, I know it's because I felt the tug.
Turned the air conditioner on, didn't it?
But it was too late.
It's too late.
Too late.
Turn the air conditioner on.
I just reached down underneath the pulpit real quick and grabbed a Bible, held it down in front of me, walked over and sat down. I emceed that whole program with that Bible in front of me. Nobody ever knew the difference.
That's a whole new meaning to the shield.
The word of God is right there. He said right here.
Yeah. That was that. You got to learn to improvise when you're in front of people like that.
Mm. Especially, I'm just glad you had the wherewithal to, you know, cover up.
Well, yeah, let me share something with you. When you're small like y'all, you really don't have to worry about stuff like that. But when you're big like me, clothes don't always fit. You know, they're a little more snug than they are loose. Mm. So when they're snug, they sort of pull apart. Mm-hmm. You've got to be quick on your feet.
We might have to write a song about that. When you're small like y'all, but when you're big like me.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
We get together.
I'll get my guitar out. We'll do a little CGD. And I mean, I guarantee we could put something together. Too bad I don't have it now.
I challenge you to do that.
You're small like y'all, but when you're big like me.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a good one right there.
Another time I was I was in front of church. Now, we're in revival.
Amen.
Spirit's moving. Oh, man, the preacher, he was just forevermore shelling the corn. He was laying it down. It was good. He goes into the altar service. I go up to the organ. Now, my organ and my piano sitting side by side. The organ's on the main floor, and the piano's just two steps up in this little cubbyhole. And I go over the organ and I start playing Just As I Am, nice and soft. You know, people coming to the altar. Oh, it was wonderful, wonderful. And I'm sitting there playing. I smell smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out where it's come from. And I'm looking around and the pastor's daughter was a former firefighter. And she's sitting across the church. And she looks at me, and all of a sudden she gets up, and I think, oh, good, she's going to the altar. She needs to go to the altar.
Yeah, of course we all need to go. Yeah.
She comes to the organ, and she said, there's smoke coming out of your organ. The organ was on fire.
You were playing it that good?
I played the fire out of that thing.
No doubt.
Played the fire out of it.
Literally playing the fire out
of
it.
I did. I said, pull the plug. And I jumped off the organ, jumped up on the piano, and just kept right on playing. She pulled the plug. None of the rest of the church even knew what went on. But I had to cut the power to that organ, you know, and the fire went out.
I mean, y'all were fixing to have the fire fail revival.
Mm-hmm.
We're going back to Acts.
Let me tell you what I would have done. I'd have let that sucker burn.
Would you really, Jerry Lee Lewis?
I'd have turned it loose. I'd have got a hold to it. Got you started playing and just let her. You would have been a legend.
Yeah, you're
now,
right.
Now, Casey, I got a follow-up. Do you still play the organ?
I do.
You know, I've always wanted to try to hoop and have an organ play. You ever seen preachers do that?
You gonna hoop?
I'd like to try it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they get up there and they say, "Give me an E flat over there."
Yeah.
And then he'll get in the preacher will get in an E flat as he's hooping. You've never seen it.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Have
you ever been to a Pentecostal church?
Now, I was gonna say this might be more ethnic than what
yes. I'm. And it is amazing.
It's fun to preach with, too.
Obviously, it would be horrible if I did it. But I've always thought, man, I'm going to try it.
You can do it. You can do it. You just got to get in the rhythm.
It's a talent. I'm going to show you after the show.
I'm
going to get on YouTube. I'm going to pull it up, and you're going to go, wow.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And
give me an E flat.
Give me that E flat.
But let me tell you something. It's not that easy at the organ.
They pay those organists to go with them. When the preacher, I mean, he pays the organist obviously during his service, but when he travels, my understanding,
they go
organist
with
travels with them.
That's right.
Because people can't do it.
Mm. Not just anybody can do it.
I'm telling you,
I know I can't.
We got to see.
I can't even get you an E flat, much less let you hoop while I do.
I usually do mine in C.
Okay. Well, mine would probably be in a G because
G. Your guitar player.
When you said hoop, I thought you meant like yodel.
No. It's a continuation of kind of preaching and passionate communication
and singing,
and
at the same time.
All tied into this one thing.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
You got to see it. I can't really describe it.
Speaking of singing, down around Chattanooga, they used to have all these restaurants in the area, the fast food restaurants, had singings in them every night of the week. And they would get different local groups and stuff to come in and sing. And you had to get to that restaurant somewhere right around 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon to get a seat. And the singing didn't start till 6 o'clock.
It was that well attended?
Yes. Yes. Hardee's restaurants, the Dairy Queen, you name it.
I've already generalized the crew at the Hardee's. Also generalized the crew at the Dairy Queen. I can also generalize the crew that's probably at the McDonald's. You know what I'm talking about? There's probably a lot of 70 plus at the Hardee's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're all old people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're all there.
Dairy Queen might have been a little younger.
So, okay.
So not quite.
60 to 70.
60 to
70.
70
to 80. 80 to 90.
And your McDonald's are probably your 40s to 50s, you know, or 30s to 40s. Let's say 30 to 40s.
Yeah.
Bring the kids in.
With the kids.
They can go play if they don't
in
like the singing.
Right. Right.
All right. Sorry for him interrupting.
That's okay. But anyway, they have all these singings there. And I was standing up there singing. I can even remember the song we were singing, The Lighthouse.
Can you sing it?
I can. There's a lighthouse on a hillside. And that's about all I want.
That's pretty good.
I like it.
But so we're standing up there singing, and I was the one singing at the time. I was singing my harmony part, okay?
You was back there playing organ, weren't you?
No, we had canned music. Canned music. Mm. And there again, I'm smelling smoke. And I looked down, and one of the monitor speakers right in front of me was not a powered speaker, just a regular old speaker you plug into, right? There was smoke coming out of that thing.
I'm just getting ready. Something's going to burn
Seems
up.
Like we got a trend.
Yeah. There's a trend.
So I was still singing. I had my microphone. I reached down, pulled the plug out that thing, picked it up, walked over to the front door, carried it out, set it in the parking lot, kept singing, walked back in, and just finished the song out. And
everybody all in
just,
harmony.
All in harmony. Never missed a lick. And everybody just sitting there looking at me. So, what'd you do that for? And I, when we finished the song, I said, this thing was smoking. There was smoke coming out of it. I said, we was fixing to have fire. So I set it outside.
I was going to invite you to my church, not anymore.
Hey, it followed him around. There's a Hank following you. He's after you.
Yeah,
he must, and he must like to light fires.
He's a fire bug.
Fire bug.
But no, that was, yeah, those, you know, I've seen talk about the spirit, man, the fire felt.
All in
literally.
Yeah, nothing against
no disrespect
Scarlet Farms and Scott and them, but I'm just going to go ahead and put that out before something catches on fire around Casey.
I like it. Now, you took us to the church, associated with church. Funeral home.
Oh, yeah. Funeral home.
You go and go to funeral home if you've been in church.
Good stories. I mean, it's a sad place,
mm-hmm.
but it can also be a place that produces some fun stories. Mm-hmm. You said you got a couple of funeral home stories.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, without further ado.
Okay.
Roll on.
Speaking of fire.
Oh, good, man.
In the funeral home.
Well, my phone's over. I need to call Ben Norris and make sure my
everything's
sure all
paid
my
up.
Insurance yeah. paid up.
I and another piano player was invited to go sing at this funeral. And the piano player, totally blind, okay? No eyeballs in his head. Totally blind. They're great piano players.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's challenging. I can't imagine what that'd be like. Go ahead. Carry on.
Hey, this man could take a player piano, you know, with all the tubes and the air tubes and stuff, tear it all apart, rebuild it, and put it all back together.
And can't see.
And can't see a lick. He's a very talented man. He's dead now. He's gone to be with Jesus. But we're in there, and, you know, in the funeral homes, they have the pianists and the singers all back in a little room where nobody can see you, but you can see what's going on.
Yeah, we heard
like
about
a confession
that.
Confession booth.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Well, he couldn't see what was going on, but the preacher, he's out there, and he's just preaching up a storm at this, in this funeral home, and he lights a match and he's talking about something about the light and how, you know what I'm talking about. Well, he blows it out. The blind man can't see what's going on.
He can smell.
And he's not listening to what the preacher's saying.
But he can smell.
He can smell. All of a sudden, in the middle of this sermon, this piano player hollers, "Fire! Fire! Fire!"
He didn't ask anybody before. No. He just started heralding it.
He just started. He smelled smoke.
The British are coming.
This is this man's worst nightmare. Okay?
Yeah.
He can't see. No one there to help him. He has had this nightmare before. Being unable.
How do you get out of here?
How do I get out? Where do I go? He has heightened awareness.
Exactly. Yeah.
Smells fire. So, nightmare has now become a reality.
Yeah. My piano playing days ain't over. We're finna get out of here.
Somebody's going to help me. I ain't going to be the last one out of here.
I just quick grabbed him. And I said, settle down. The preacher blew out a match. And he says, that stupid idiot.
False alarm.
And this is all loud. He is
very boisterous.
He's not holding nothing
no.
back.
Yeah. With my hand up. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
What's the crowd doing at this time?
They got real quiet and they're all looking to find out who's hollering fire and where the fire's coming from. The preacher, he just keeps preaching. He never slowed down.
I mean, hey, I got to get this spirit. I got to get this message out.
I done my illustration. We finna finish this message.
Finish this one up.
It was, yeah, that was probably... It was funny at the time.
Oh, I bet.
And we laughed about it afterwards. Another time at the funeral home.
Wait, before you go there, yeah. Speaking of nightmare, we got a book here that your daddy wrote.
My daddy wrote that book, The Nightmare of a 5-Year-Old.
Yep.
And you would think it was a dream, but my daddy actually lived the nightmare.
Yeah.
And my brother had a nightmare that prompted my daddy's salvation.
Wow.
And it's in that book.
Really cool. You can check it out if anybody's interested on Amazon.
Yep. Now, Casey's daddy wrote that book when he was 79?
79 years old. He had an 8th grade education, and he sat down to the computer with one finger, hunt and peck, and it took him a year and a half to type that entire book out. And he typed it all out himself. He wrote it, sent it off to the printers, and they said, oh, you need to do this and that. And he said, it's my book. You'll do it the way I tell you to do it. And that's the way the book turns out. 79 years old,
you're going, that's how you're going to do it.
Filter's gone, been
yep.
gone.
Yeah.
Rags to riches story, you said.
It is.
That's cool.
Rags to riches.
I just thought that was fitting there, talking about nightmares. So continue on there, sir.
Okay. I was invited to this other funeral home to play piano for this lady. Now, this lady, whenever she went anywhere, she carried a 3-ring notebook that was probably about 3 inches thick, full of songs.
Now, this lady wasn't the one the funeral was for.
No. She was. It was her friend.
Straight.
It was her friend that had passed, and she was asked to sing for her and two other ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew this lady because I went to church with her, and she couldn't sing worth a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I resonate.
And thought she was God's gift to this world.
In the singing world.
You can be a bad singer, but you can't be a bad singer and not know it.
She did.
She was that person. No.
So I said, okay, we get to the funeral home and they tell me what songs they're going to sing there, her and two other ladies. And the only thing I could think of was, they don't know me out there, which I'm very grateful for because I do not want to be associated with this.
Mm.
So I sit down to the piano.
That is bad.
And I played the piano as loud as I could. And you really don't do that at a funeral.
Well, you're trying to play the fire out of it again. We're going to light this thing up.
I'm just trying to cover up this caterwauling that's going on behind me.
Caterwauling. That's the first I've ever heard that. What does that mean?
You never heard of caterwauling?
Is that what it is?
Did yeah, get it right? It's a terrible noise.
Maybe, I'm educated. Now you know.
Yeah. And
maybe a new t-shirt.
It was. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I don't sing. I caterwaul.
But it was awful. But I just played as loud as I could. And they just didn't stop at one song. They didn't stop at two songs. Three tortures that we did to the poor tortures. People. Yeah, three. And finally, I said, we got to stop. There. She said, I got one more song. I said, stop.
You ain't sang the first song.
I'm done. And I got up and I walked out the funeral home. I left. I went out the back door. I didn't want nobody to see me. I left.
No, this is bad.
If you're going to sing you're going to sing it a cappella.
You're going to Church of Christ if you're going to sing the last one.
That's exactly right. Oh, speaking of a cappella, I got a funny story for you.
Well, come on.
We were at a singing. Our group was invited to set up sound for this program. And there was this man came up to me and he says, I sing a lot. And I said, oh, do you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He says, but I don't use music. I said, you know what that's called? He said, no. I said, that's called a cappella. Oh, really? And I said, yeah, that's a cappella. And he says, yeah, I don't use music. He says, I sing it my way. And I said, well, have you ever had any a cappella soundtracks? And he said, no. And I says, I have a whole CD full of a cappella soundtracks that you'll be able to sing to. Really? How much is it? And I said, it's $10. And he said, I'll take one. And he whipped out a $10 bill. I reached down and I got a blank CD. I put it in a sleeve. Said, here you go. And sent him on his way.
And he?
He bought it. Hook, line, and
sock. Did you feel bad about that?
No.
Not one bit.
Not near bit.
Not a bit.
I want the follow-up. I need the, like, I need to go interview him and go, just when you put that in your CD player and hit play, how did you feel?
But I already told him a cappella means no music.
But he didn't understand it. He clearly.
He did not understand that. He thought he got a bargain. He got a whole CD full of soundtracks, a cappella soundtracks for $10.
Do you still have his number?
I've never seen the man since.
Because I've got some things I need to sell. And he sounds like the person I need to talk to.
Oh, he needs to be that is
with
by.
My hand. And the two guys I was with in the group, all they could do to keep from dying laughing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, that was, and once he walked away, boy, he was happy with that CD. He walked out.
This is
out
true story, Casey, be honest.
With my hand up, I'm telling you, a true story.
A cappella
soundtracks. I sold him a whole CD full of them.
That's how Barney sang, a cappella.
Exactly. Acapella. Yep, exactly.
You mentioned your dad's childhood a little bit, that mm-hmm. you know, he struggled a little bit through childhood, but you also have an interesting childhood story that has something to do with Paul Revere.
Yes. You know, when you're kids, you think you can conquer the world. We had an 80-acre farm.
I still think I can.
Well,
that's not limited to kids.
You get as old as I am, you learn you can't. So
gotcha. You just, okay. Maybe I just need to realize it.
Yeah. So we had our farm. We had an 80-acre farm, and about halfway through the farm, there was a creek. It ran through there. We thought, let's make a raft and float it down the creek. Why not?
How big is the creek? Wide?
Probably 15, 18 feet.
How deep?
6-7 feet deep.
Okay, I'm with you.
You can do some pretty good fishing in there. We did. And so we make this raft. We take a skid, and we take three barrels, and we strap them up underneath this skid. She'll float. Like a bobber. When you get on that thing in that rushing water, you can't hang on. Mm. We all got wet.
Oh, no doubt. Why not four barrels?
We didn't have four.
I knew immediately why it was only three.
Yeah, we didn't have another four barrels. So then we got the bright idea. We can take one out and tie it on the outside. That'll stabilize that
outrigger.
Thing. Exactly. Worked wonderful till it caught a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And when it caught a tree, it bowed down, and that thing went end over end, and so did we.
For just one second, I thought you were going to say, till it caught fire.
No. I don't have any more fire. I mean,
I'm glad that was all the fire stories we've got. No more.
I'm sorry about that, but, you know, I mean, it's been an interesting life last 60 years.
All I could picture was a big red three-wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Those didn't go well either.
No.
There's a reason they're not on the market anymore.
Mm-hmm. But one is because they would absolutely fly.
Mm-hmm.
But way too much motor in that three-wheeler.
Yeah.
Too small of wheels.
You think so?
Yeah, and too close together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been there, done that one.
You flipped three-wheeler?
Yeah. Got a scar on my leg to prove it. Hit an old iron disc, you know, field disc. Yeah, me and that thing went end over the top of that disc. And then it landed on top of me, yeah.
You know, that was the first memory, the first memory made for my grandparents and me with a three-wheeler.
Mm.
I have a set of grandparents that were country, and then I have a set of grandparents that were more city.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the country grandparents had no problem with the three-wheeler purchase. So it was a little Suzuki 50 Trail Buddy.
Okay.
I think I was somewhere between 3 and 5. I don't know what the exact age was. And obviously, the city grandparents were, this is a terrible idea. Why are you doing this? Like, he needs to be on the pedal one, not powered. It's gas-powered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember this. This is a mom and dad telling me this story later, but they said they've invited them up
come up to the house, watch Philip ride the three-wheeler. And so they came up and were so proud. And they went down there and it was a pull crank, pulled it, started it up and said, I went taking off out through there and I was doing my thing. Everything was good. All three wheels were on the ground. And then about that time, I started getting a little faster and a little faster. Things have never changed. And I cut that thing. And what does it do when you cut the wheel too hard? It's just going to flip. And said that that thing flipped over and was just laying there on top of me, still running. And said, I kicked it off, flipped it back over and got on it and started riding again. And they said, we're just going to go. We can't watch this anymore. But, you know, the reason I knew how to kick it off of me and flip it back over is because we'd done that several times.
Sure.
And so three-wheelers, absolutely. They're just waiting on an opportunity to flip.
Well, ours, the throttle cable quit working.
That's a problem.
Yeah, hook a string on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, run it over your shoulder.
Mom, mom.
You got it. Wide open.
Mm. That's how you.
Yeah, I. Dummy me. Let go of the string. No. You got to hold that string because you can't give her throttle if you ain't got it in your hand.
That's right.
So I held on to her and right into that iron disc. And man, that thing went end over end.
Man, that's horrible. Now, you said something about raccoon skinning, too.
Well, I wanted a coon skin hat. You know, okay. Daniel Boone. Watched Boone when I was a kid. Loved Daniel Boone. Had to have me a coon skin hat. We was on our way home from church one Sunday afternoon, and my dad said, oh, somebody hit a coon in the road. I said, Dad, stop, stop. I want that coon. I'm going to skin it and make me a hat. He said, okay, you just do that. So he stops, and he backs up. I jump out, go get it, throw it in the back end of the car. We go on to the house. We go in the house, eat lunch. After lunch, I go down, take it down to the barn. I don't know the first thing about skinning an animal. Never done it before. Skinned a few fish in my day, but that was it. I hang that thing up, and I thought, well, I got to have a knife. So I went to the
first things first.
Went to the
priority
tool shed and found an old knife, rusty, nasty old thing, about as sharp as the top of this table. And I go to cutting that thing. Well, I don't skin it; I gut it.
And this is roadkill.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, three cats all sitting around me. You know. They're excited. They're waiting for this thing. Needless to say, I didn't get a coonskin hat. I had a mess on my hands. Lord, did I have a mess.
And your daddy?
He just cackled.
He was sitting back watching.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely was on the porch with a cup of coffee, and he just watching me down in the barn. He thought it was hilarious.
He's learned teaching you a lesson without there. Having to do anything.
I'd never tried it twice.
That's the last piece of roadkill you
ever Yeah. I didn't need a coonskin hat. I figured I could buy one somewhere down the line if I needed one that bad.
Yeah, they sell them pretty cheap.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my coonskinning story.
I was going to do a skunk one time. Skunk hat.
For real?
For real. I trapped one, and I thought I wanted a skunk hat. Mm-hmm. And Brian, of course, being who Brian is, gave me the, you can't do it.
Uh-oh. The challenge is on.
Oh, yes, I can. No, you can't skin it. You can't. There's no way you can. And I said, okay, hide in the bushes. Just hide in the bushes and watch, buddy. Well, I trapped one and dispatched it. Got my gloves and got to working on skinning it. And of course, it does what skunks do. It sprayed and I put it in a bag. I got through it. Got through it. Skin it. And I put it in a bag with the intentions of neutralizing the smell with vinegar.
Put some Febreze in there.
Febreze. Not understanding, I did fail chemistry, just so you know.
Okay.
I'm not a chemist. by any means. I did not understand that vinegar and a skunk spray are in the same arena of acidity. So when I opened that bag the next morning, thinking I had neutralized the smell, I had...
enhanced it?
Enhanced is an understatement.
Exponentially increased
that skunk smell to the point where to
where... Where was the bag?
Where was the
bag?
Did
you at least leave it outside?
I did leave it outside. Okay. It was outside. To the point to where anytime I ate salt and vinegar chips or anything that had vinegar in it for the next 6 months, I smelled that exponentially increased skunk spray in that bag.
I knew you were ignorant, but that's ignorant.
I have no idea how my wife did not leave me at that point in time.
And many other times.
You were married at that time?
Of course.
Oh, Lord.
She's a saint. You just got to meet her. She's a saint, or she needs to be at Moxon.
Real one of them. She might be need to be chanting 12, 12, 12, 13, 13. Or I'm driving her that direction. I could be pushing her that direction, Casey. It'd be my fault.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That reminds me of when I was up in Michigan. There's this little town called Charlevoix, Charlevoix, Michigan. And I was in the restaurant, and I was standing there waiting behind this other couple, and they were arguing about how to pronounce the name of the town. He was saying Charlevoix, and she said, "No, honey, it's spelled Charlevoix." And he said, "But it's pronounced Charlevoix." And they're going back and forth. And so when they get up to the counter, he says, "Can I ask you a question?" And the little girl behind the counter says, "Sure." And he said, "How do you pronounce the name of this place?" And she said, "Burger King." Had you? Oh,
it's very easy.
Burger King. That's hilarious. You did. I was hook, line, and sinker. Great job, Casey. I love it.
You're welcome.
You mentioned that you were down there in the barn skinning that putrid, decaying carcass of a raccoon.
Right. It wasn't fresh.
No, I know. That's why my stomach turned when I smelt the gas as it came out when you so punctured the abdomen. So you said you got one, or you really got two farming stories. What's the one about the John Deere and a corn wagon?
We had this old two-lunger John Deere. Y'all know what the two-lunger is? Like the 730. The one that goes putt, 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 putt. You know, we call them two-lungers. It was an old one. It was a 730. And they're not a real strong tractor. They're what, probably 25, 30 horse at the most. And we hired this man to come and shell our corn off of the farm. And he said, "Well, you can use my Mississippi wagon to take it to town, to the feed mill." I said, "Okay." Well, a Mississippi wagon, empty, weighs 12 tons. It's a big, long wagon. It's got two great big wheels up front. And you almost need 40 acres to turn it around because it just doesn't turn short. And he said, "Now, with this tractor loaded, you cannot get over first gear because it won't pull it." I said, "Okay." Well, you can't tell a kid you can't do that. What he didn't realize was just out past our house, once I got this thing out the driveway and on the road, was a hill. Went down, and town was just a mile and a half, 2 miles up the road. I start down that hill, and I stop. And I take that thing, and I put it over in fourth gear. I got to get to town faster than that. And I get it in fourth gear, and I take that old hand clutch, and I just start working it. And I get the thing a-rolling. Oh, yeah. Oh, we cooking now. And I finally jammed her all the way in and smoked just a beller, and pop, 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 button away we go. I pulled the throttle back. I head into town. Well, I kept coming close to town. I pulled the clutch back and I try and stop that thing. There ain't no stopping a loaded Mississippi wagon. Now, I told you, empty, it weighed 12 tons. Full, it was heavy. And that old John Deere had one brake and it didn't work. I went plumb through town. I missed everything and prayed nobody pulled out in front of me.
Yeah.
That's right. I just waved as I went through. I went plumb through town, got 2 miles out the out of town before I could get that thing stopped. And I got it to an intersection. I turned it around in this farmer's field. I put it in first gear and went all the way back into town.
I'll be back in a minute, boys. Just give me a second.
I learned my lesson. Mm. When the man said you can't do it, he was right. You can't do it.
That's what he meant.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with that too because I do exactly what you do. I think of one element of why I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's not even talking about that. He understood it could go in fourth gear.
Right.
What he was talking about is you couldn't stop it.
I couldn't stop it. That's right.
But right. You learned. Thankfully, learned. Safely.
Yeah.
After the parade went through town.
But I was scared to death when I couldn't stop.
No doubt.
Because going into town, it also goes downhill just a little bit. So I was gaining speed. And halfway through town is where I needed to turn to go to the
feed. You
weren't
making that turn, Bubba.
I didn't make it. I made it a lot easier coming back.
In first gear.
Wow.
Pop.
Yeah.
Uncle Cuba used to have one of those. I still remember that.
I love it.
Pop. And it hit one time. Pop.
Yeah.
They have one down at.
They're plowing his field.
I don't know what they exactly use it for down at. They have a sausage festival in Alberta down around Gulf Shores every year in the fall. And it's amazing. If you ever get a chance to go. I mean, it's really good.
Okay. I'll try and find it.
We'll finish this when he gets finished. I knew that he couldn't recover from that. That's why I just stopped talking. I knew he was out.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Breathe, son. Breathe.
When I said it, your eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. And I said, yep. We'll never make it out of this one.
Okay. I'm sorry. I couldn't.
Yeah, you should have said they're just.
Okay. I'm sorry. I ruined that story for you and I apologize.
What about a buzzing bee patch?
When I was real little, I used to always like to ride on the tractor with my dad. Okay. About the only time I got to spend with him because he was always working out of the house. And so we would go out at night and work the fields and I would stand or sit on the fender or stand on the back of the tractor and just ride with him. And we would talk and what have you. Well, we were out disking a field and we come across a yellow jacket nest in the ground. And they didn't like being disturbed in this plowed field. And here they come. Well, we were swarmed. Dad pulls up the disc. He just hits the lever, picks it up off the ground, and he takes off, pops that thing in high gear. And he says, when we get up here to the creek, he said, I'm going to slam on the brakes, jump off the tractor, and get in the creek. Just jump down in the water. And I said, okay. So we had a plan. And now I mean, we're covered with bees. And we get up there and he
You're still riding the tractor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're having to move. And finally, it wasn't us that they were after. It was the sound of the tractor. He didn't shut the tractor off. We're down in the creek and can't get back to the tractor because now it's swarmed with bees.
You're more of a man than I am. The first thing I'd have done is jumped off that tractor.
Gone.
Where are you going? Where am I going to go?
Away from there.
But I wasn't going to jump down in front of that disc.
No, I would have jumped off the side.
I'd have jumped off the
Look
side.
Look at me. I ain't jumping far.
Casey, no disrespect. I just didn't think about that.
All he could think about was stopping safely and get in the water.
Man.
And that's exactly what we did. But so I said, now what are we going to do? We're sitting down in the creek, sitting there looking at the tractor covered with bees. He said, we're going to let her run out of gas.
He learned his lesson.
And that's exactly what we did. We sat in the water, just sat there and waited for the thing to quit running. And finally, the bees went back home. But yeah, it was not a pretty sight.
Unintentionally, the Hayden, Alabama podcast has become tethered to Black Panthers
and sightings.
And sightings. Yeah, it's just become part of the show, whether we, meant to do it or not do it.
We've kicked around the idea of having a webpage to be able to, put pins.
We're definitely going to have a t-shirt. So if you're watching this and you're one of our Black Panther
sightings
fans, we are going to get a t-shirt. I don't know what it's going to say.
Even, I think it's going to say, I've seen it.
S-E-E-N-T?
Mm-hmm. Oh, ain't.
I've seen it.
That's
big old Black Panther.
Past tense of seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But you have Black Panther story. Let's hear it.
When I moved down here from Michigan in 1989, I moved up onto top of Lookout Mountain, right up the street from the church where my pants had a mishap happen. Okay. And I lived in this old mobile home, and the air didn't work. It was hot in there. Oh, it was hot. And I had the ceiling fan on, and I had the living room door open, and I was laying on the couch in the living room, just sweat. It was miserable. And the living room door was open, and there was just a small screen door there. And all of a sudden, I heard the loudest scream I'd ever heard in my life. I come up off that couch about 4 feet and landed flat in the floor. Scared the daylights out of me. And I crawled over to the door and looked out there where the noise came from. And there it was, 6 feet from my trailer. I reared back and slammed the front door. That wasn't coming in to get me. I seen the panther.
There he was.
He was right there.
Daylight?
Daylight. 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And this wasn't a bad dream.
No, sir. And I was not in any...
Yeah, no hallucinogenics.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Maybe the shirt should say, I believe.
Weigh in. Put it in the comments. If you are interested in a Black Panther shirt, what does it need to say? So we're going to have, an image of the Panther with some text.
Mm-hmm. Been there, done that.
All right. There it is. There's your first comment. Put it in the comments. Let's know what it needs to be. Well, Casey, I want to tell people how to get in touch with you. You've been so kind to us to drive all the way to Hayden today to tell stories with us, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, I can honestly say, I told Shane when I got here, I said, I know why now. When I watch the program and the podcast on YouTube, I can actually feel the Spirit of the Lord come through the podcast because I am in the presence of two angels out here in God's country.
That's pretty heavy.
I'm going to accept your compliment.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
I ain't no angel.
I ain't no angel.
I know you ain't.
We're going to throw rocks. Now, we can throw rocks at one another right here and entertain Casey if we want to. We can entertain the whole world if we just want to get started. But I want you guys to know you have a YouTube channel called Cooking, C-O-O-K-I-N.
Right, no G.
With Casey, where you do some cooking, teaching people how to cook. You have little devotionals that you do.
Right.
And mm-hmm. So I just wanted people to know if they were like, man, you know, I really like that guy. I got to have more Casey.
Well, my cooking is kind of unique, too. Mm-hmm. I don't, on my channel when I cook, I don't just cook in the kitchen. All my cooking is done
over fire.
Over fire, outdoors. Of course it is.
Why not?
You know, either in a grill or something. Mm-hmm. Rocket stoves.
Stereo speakers, organs.
Yeah, you name it, whatever burns.
He'll cook at your funeral home. Yeah, wherever you want to cook.
Wherever you want to cook, I'll cook.
Well, I wanted them to know that so they can get in touch with you. And then lastly, on the how they get in touch with you, you just created also a Facebook page as well.
Is that what I did, Facebook me? Page, and it's cooking, no G, but it's got the little hyphen thing, or apostrophe, whatever you want to call that thing. Yeah.
Let's not get technical. It's okay.
Yeah, Cooking with Casey Ministries on Facebook. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have been in Ephesians, but you mentioned that you brought a verse with you. Do you still have it where you can read it?
I do. All right.
So for the scripture time today, Casey's going to read a verse for us, and we're going to say a few words. So
it's Proverbs 4:23. I love the book of Proverbs. There's so much depth in there. You know, it's full of knowledge, and it's great. Proverbs 4:23. The verse says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else.
Amen.
And you know, nowadays children aren't taught that.
No, let me say this. Nowadays parents aren't
teaching.
They aren't doing that for their kids. They're not guarding the children's heart. And I think that's one thing when you read that I took away from it more than anything is how important it is for me not to just guard mine, but I have to guard my children's heart as well while I can. Because they'll come a time when I'm no longer with them 24/7 or they're not under my care. But if I don't guard them while I can, then they don't stand a chance to guard it on their own when they get out.
That's right. Morning. That's right.
You know what my takeaway was?
You hear it. Let's hear it.
The Bible also tells us something about our heart. You know what it tells us? This is going to hurt some people's feelings.
Don't follow it.
Because it's eternally deceitful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So considering those things, if our heart is naturally without the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. eternally deceitful, you better guard it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're not being led by the Lord, your heart's going to lead you in the wrong place.
Well, for it determines the course of your life.
Follow your heart.
Yeah, well, you better be careful about following that heart, boy.
You better not.
Yeah.
Because the course that deceitful heart will take you on is not one you want to be part of.
That is probably one of the most unpopular teachings in today's world is do not follow your heart. Because that's going to be the wrong direction. You better follow the Lord.
Well, I guarantee you don't just have both of you do not have just one example of a time where you did indeed follow your heart and it led to great turmoil.
Yeah.
I've got more than I care to express. Mm-hmm. And because the Lord has allowed me to learn that lesson, I seek to
follow his heart,
follow the heart that he has given me and not my own.
Yeah.
Because the path of life that I want to experience is his and not mine. My own.
Yep.
That's deep. That's good.
It's not popular at all.
But if you're willing to hear it, it is really awesome.
It's really awesome.
Yeah. But you know, I know you get the preaching on the other side of follow your heart is much more prevalent. Mm. I said this during one of my sermons recently. I said, I could grow the number of people who attend my church.
Mm-hmm.
I have the ability to do that. All I would have to do is start telling them what they wanted to hear.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because we all, every single person, none is exempt. Every person wants to hear what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll come for that. Sign me up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I just heard it, you know, the other day that preacher was preaching and he said, I can tell you what y'all want to hear. You know, like you just said, church would be packed full. But I'm going to tell you the truth.
Mm. My great-grandmother said, that's what'll stand when the world's on fire.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, let's play the word game and let's get out of here and let's get you back to Georgia. What is this? Wait a minute. What you got?
I brought y'all a little toy.
Is that a fishing?
It is. Here's your emergency whistle that you can just carry in your pocket. Okay? In case you stumble or fall, like me. I like to do that sometimes. And then if you ever get hungry and this will help you keep you from getting hungry. Put your hook on there and you can go fishing with it.
Let
you
me
carry
show
that
everybody.
In your back pocket.
Let me give y'all a little look right here.
Brought y'all a little present.
A little hand fishing unit.
Well, I'll be done.
Give a little toot, Phil. Let
yeah, blow your little whistle.
Teach a man to fish and he'll never go hungry.
That's right.
Provide him with a way to catch him.
Toot, toot.
Casey, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And now we're going to bless you with word game. You know how to play it. You watch the show. You're the honorary guest, so you start it. I wish you could quit doing that. You make my stomach turn. You and your 5-year-old
annex every time. I'm ready.
But, I mean, you don't think people get tired of seeing you react like that? Who's tired of seeing Shane react like that? Thank you, Casey.
I watch.
Can I have the 40... 1-year-old Shane?
Yes, you can. Here I am. I'm ready. Okay. Let's
ready?
Play.
Yeah. Here we go. In
the
world,
I
will
drive
far
away,
seeing
many
problems
around
town.
Period.
Very
round
good.
One. Round one. Always got to do two.
Messed that one up.
Okay, let's Shane, go. You want to lead it, whiny baby?
I'll lead it. I'm going to lead with mountains
are
beautiful
if
you
like
to
climb
up.
Yay!
All right, Shane's the loser as usual. I tell you what, we'll quit playing the word game. You come up with another game that you can win, and then we'll play your game. I challenge you with that. You can no longer whine until you bring another game to the table.
Okay.
Deal?
Okay.
I got a suggestion for you.
Well, let's hear it.
You ever play what do they call it? Where you give a reference and then somebody got to quick find it and then...
Oh, Bible drill.
Bible drill. There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Bible drill.
Not everybody knows their Bible.
That ain't Bible.
Yeah, that ain't a Bible. Well, gentlemen, I think it's time to wrap this one up.
It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. It was work to drive.
And we made it all the way through without starting a fire.
Thank God we put one out.
That was safety precautions.
I think it was a good call after hearing the pyromaniac we got here on the left side.
You know, the funny thing is, though, I never touched nothing to make anything happen. It just happened.
Powerful.
That's what they all say.
Well, we're going to shut it down before Casey catches us on fire. This is Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Casey.
We'll see you next week.